As a sound check, is that all right, Tony? You can all hear me, can you?
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah.
So I said to Tony, I better introduce myself. And many of you already picked up the fact that I've got a slight accent, which means that I'm different. I'm probably and a little bit foreign, but anyway, don't let it bother you, because I love Jesus, and that's why I'm here with you today. I'm Zimbabwean by birth, a Rhodesian, a believer by grace. I have a family. I got two married daughters with five grandchildren, and they are an absolute blessing for me. I come from a farming, cattle ranching background. I did that as childhood, but through the years of teenage years, I did engineering as a trade, and that's my background. But I did that I can't remember exact how many years it was now, but then I received a call from God, and I responded to become a missionary. And so I was a missionary for 26 years with an organization, and in that time also, I was blessed enough to pastor a church for 4 years. By heart, I'm Barnabas. I that speaks to me volumes when I read the life of Barnabas. I encourage, I seek out the hidden ones, the ones that, like John Mark, that nobody else wanted. I love giving people opportunity, and the whole reason for that is because God gave me an opportunity for me just to be who I am.
Yeah.
No airs, no graces. And I just love Tony last week. When you were sharing from Corinthians, and I'm thinking, yeah, no eloquence here. What you see is what you get. And I hope Tony and Coral can confirm that, and some other new friends that I've met in Salisbury. They're getting to know me. Amen. I am just who I am. And I just want to thank you. It's an opportunity to share my heart. You see, I've reached a pinnacle in my life that frightened me. And it's called retirement. And this thing called retirement is a scary thing. Because the world says, mate, you're finished. You can't work. Off to the field, mate, to the knacker's yard. Get gone. Go to the field. Go and eat grass for the rest of your life and enjoy your life. We may supply you some water, but just get out the way. It frightened me. Once you're involved with God in so many different things, if you've seen the miraculous, if you've been involved with the miraculous, you've prayed for people and you see them healed, you cannot deny that God's got a plan for your life. So here comes this thing about, okay, Lord, what is my plan? Where do I go from here? And this has inspired me just to bring a word of you. And yes, it is all about faith, but it also includes a lot of prayer, expectation, believing that God's got a plan. God has got a plan. It's a good plan.
Yeah.
But it's also a personal plan. And I'm grabbed hold of this thing, and I'm holding it on with my teeth, with everything else. I retired last year, trying to unfathom what's going to happen this year. Along comes COVID, torpedoes my plans, my thoughts, and everything else. And I'm sitting, holding on to God, saying, I know, Lord, you've got a plan. So I want to submit to you today. And just, if you want a title of what I'm going to talk about, faith is the fuel of my heart. I'm going to repeat that, okay? Faith is the fuel of my heart. You see, Tony even prayed earlier on. I love this prayer. There are so many uncertain things around in the world today. The Lord is shaking. There's no doubt the Lord is shaking. our foundations, what we stand for, what we believe in. And many of us have discussed that Jesus is coming back soon.
Amen.
But something stood out to me in my daily readings and what I was, you know, just, I don't know, seeking with the Lord, if that's the right word. I'm just seeking, reading. And I happened to read the persistent widow who was praying, who was knocking for justice, wanting answers, like we want with COVID. What is true? What can we expect? So many videos and conspiracies and things going on. What can we put our teeth into? But what shook me was that little line that says, when Jesus said, "Will I find faith?" Oh my goodness. Have you read the word sometimes and those things just jump out at you and you think, oh my goodness, I've read this so many times. Why is this so significant for me right now? Will I find faith? I've walked with God for many years. Am I really, really in that place where Jesus would actually question that when he returns, will he find faith? Hey, he can find my house, my home, you know. He can find my smart car outside. I may have been successful in business. I may have built a beautiful garden. But will he find faith? Wow. Persistent, pressing into God, knocking on God's door and saying, Lord, your word says, you promised. And while I was in that mode of thought and before God and dear brothers and sisters and repenting, because sometimes I don't think my faith is where it should be, the Lord gave me a picture of the disciples in the boat with Jesus. Jesus said, right, in the boat, we're crossing over. He falls asleep. Jesus was tired. I mean, he's been ministering to so many people. No wonder he was tired. The disciples are sitting in the boat and they hit the storm and the winds. Panic. And I said, Lord, that's how I feel. With this whole time of my life, I'm walking in this journey that I cannot quite see the end result. A little bit of panic. Honesty now, bit of panic. And what did the disciples do? They rushed towards Jesus, woke him up and said, we're going to perish. And again, he says those amazing little words. Oh, you of little faith. I had to say, oh my goodness, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? Do you mean to say I've got no faith? I don't believe that's what the Lord was saying. What was it, a rebuke? Maybe. Does it mean that I've only got a small amount of faith? Mustard seed side faith? But if you read on in that scripture, if you read on there, the whole thing while he was addressing it was fear. Fear and faith don't mix. No way. They just don't mix. Fear comes in many different forms. It comes to grab hold of us. Comes to stir our lives, comes to, you know, hit those sore spots in our whole lives and our walk with God, what we understand, what the scriptures tell us, what do we believe in? And I believe Jesus was just redefining for the disciples their purpose and the value of faith. Because come on, think about it. Well, I had to think about it. When I say to you, think about it, I want to challenge you, but also for you to understand where I'm coming from. The disciples have been walking with Jesus. They participated in the miraculous. They were gleaning. They were grabbing hold of what every word that Jesus was saying. They were holding on to for dear life. Did they really understand their destination? Did they really understand the purposes of why God was taking them through this amazing discipleship program? But they were walking with Jesus because they couldn't let go, because they were walking with truth. They were walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet they came to this point, but after all this time of walking with Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "You of little faith." Oh, you of little faith. I wondered what each of the disciples did. What was their reaction? Some may have scratched their head. Some may have shaken their heads. Some would probably have bowed their heads and said, "Oh my goodness, what have I done now?" Or, "Oh dear, he's picking on me again." I don't know what their reaction is. I don't know what your reaction would be. What was my reaction? You see, faith takes courage. Because, as we're going to read the scripture, next scripture, I'm going to read, all these scriptures I'm sharing with is not new, but understand, I'm talking to you a little bit about my own life right now. I'm being shaken. What I've believed all these years, the word, what I've shared, what I've preached, what I've lived, is being shaken. Brothers and sisters, this world wants to impart fear to you. Switch on the telly, you'll hear fear. Switch on the telly, you'll hear uncertainty. Switch on the telly, listen to the news, see it on Facebook, YouTube, anything else. There's a certain element of impartation that the world's imparting to you, and guess who's behind it? Satan. The devil himself. He's trying to rob and steal and kill and destroy.
Yeah.
Nothing new under the sun. It's happened before, and it's happening again. So faith takes courage. Faith takes an action. It brings forth the purposes of God. So think about the disciples here. They're walking with Jesus, and suddenly they're doing all this miracle. They're feeding the 5,000. They are seeing amazing things happening. Yet they couldn't see what their purpose is. Brothers and sisters, you and I have a purpose. God's got a plan. It's a good plan. It's a personal plan. What is it? Where can we get this? How can we eat it and drink it and absorb it? You see, the disciples had no idea that from their boat experience and the journey of God was taking them, he baptized them in the Holy Spirit, and they went from disciples to apostles. Bang. Did they have all the tools? No. Did they know everything? No. You and I do not know everything. But I know who has, and who knows everything? Jesus, the Son of the living God. So now I'm going to take you just to the word. We're on a little journey here. Please journey with me. Because please understand, as I'm sharing this, it's starting to settle in my heart too. When God shares you a revelation, you've got to go and tell everybody. That's why salvation is important, to go and tell others that you are saved. Because it settles something here in your heart. when you share it, it finds a home in your heart. Hebrews. I've got to go to Hebrews. Come on now. I've got to go to Hebrews. What does Hebrews say? Verse 6 says this. And without faith, I'm reading from the Anointed NIV, or if you like, the nearly infallible version. verse 6, it says, and without faith. Okay? He was talking about all these amazing faith people in the Bible. You can read it there. It's a faith chapter. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I am looking for the reward. I want a reward. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see God shake the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
I want to be part of the miraculous.
Amen.
Why must I retire?
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I want to refire.
Mm.
Not retire.
Yeah.
God did not put me on this earth to put me in a field like an old cow, whatever you like, eating grass for happy days.
Mm.
No way. No way. I'm seeking. I'm looking.
Mm.
I'm praying. I'm believing. I'm searching. I'm grabbing hold whatever God's got for me. Because faith is the active part of what you believe. Faith is the action of your revelation. Your revelation. What Jesus says to you. If it stirs it in your heart. If you conceive it in your mind. Mm. It's yours.
Mm.
Revelation for you to act upon. For you to unfold. Give a teeth in it. You see, I have to see it by faith before it's real. I have to grab hold of the little bit of revelation so that I can make it real. The Lord didn't give us all the answers. If God came down now and gave you all the revelation, all the word, if he filled you with the Holy Spirit to literally bursting point, you will explode.
Mm-hmm.
If he came down with his glory right now and filled you with the fullness of the glory of God, you'll go poof in a puff of smoke because you could not handle it. But please, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, give me enough that I might believe,
yeah,
that I can make, yeah, it mine.
Amen.
Because the future belongs to you.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Today belongs to you, Jesus. The future belongs to you, Jesus. And I want to be part of it. You see, faith explores what revelation reveals.
Mm.
I'm going to repeat that. Faith explores what revelation reveals. You need to do that. It doesn't just happen on a plate. It doesn't just pop in. Brothers and sisters, are you hungry for the things of God? You see, in this retirement thing, I was frustrated. And I struggled with something. I hope you hear. It's called patience. No. Patience. And you know where the problem with patience is? Because English is my second language, you understand? Patience is the I in patience. I Impatience. I separate the word, I break it up. It doesn't complete itself because I, in the middle, I never knew to put the I before the E or after the E. I'm a foreigner, what can I say? I struggle with patience, and the only thing that sees me through patience is persistent prayer. My Lord and my God, I'm here. Speak to me.
Yeah.
I understand. I've been challenged with this. You're hearing part of my testimony. You're hearing just my heart, please. Just hearing my heart. Praying for what you have is not faith. That's only thankfulness. Praying for what you have is not faith, but thankfulness. I had a list. It included my bucket list. Lord, when I retire, this is what I want to do. Lord, I want to go and travel. I want to see this. I want to visit. I've been blessed to travel around the world in different countries. And I think, Lord, there's a few countries I'd love to visit. There's some I'd like to revisit because I love people. I love cultures. I love what it does for my heart. When I was a missionary traveling around the world in different countries, ministering, doing whatever I was doing, I normally came home more blessed than I think I gave. Mm-hmm. Because God does something in your heart. And I had a list, and I said, I want to go, I want to do this, I want to do that. And there's dreams, there's hopes, there's... Well, I'm getting old. So I can dream dreams. Mm. But I want them to be a reality. I want to be challenged by God. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to see what Jesus is doing. I want to be part of the miraculous. Please be encouraged. But I felt that all my lists and everything I had, I was just being a noisy gong, you know, the old cymbal. I was just the same old thing, the same old thing, the same old thing. And I felt the Lord saying to me, but do you actually believe what you pray for? You see, nobody's ever taught me what retirement is. I've spoken to many of my friends, wonderful, learned friends, Bible teachers. I've looked and said, can somebody teach me how to retire in the Lord? Do I just go into the field and eat grass and sing hallelujahs all day? Drink of the spring of life, the fresh water, and quicken my spirit and just keep me going. I'm struggling. I know the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me, and he won't do it for you either, because otherwise his word won't be truth. But on this little journey, on this faith journey, discovering, finding a way, Lord Jesus, I want to know your plan. And you may not be in retirement. Whoever position you are in age, some of us even older, there is a plan.
Yeah.
God's got a plan for you. There's no way he wants you to sit at home and vegetate. That's for the field. There's so much we can do. And I've been impressed with this nation and its charitable work. Bless you all that have been involved with charitable work. That is Jesus stirring something inside you. That is him motivating the gifts that he's put inside you. I want more. I want more for you. I want you to grow, absorb, take hold of what Jesus has for you. So I'll come back to the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Please, you may read it if you want to, but I'll refer back to it later. We all know Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And the Lord took me back there, and he says, Con, this desire in your heart, let's read this thing together. And I read it in different versions. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and uncertain for what we do not see. Other versions say we have the assurance of the things we hope for. But the King James Version caught my imagination. He says, faith is substance of the things you hope for and the things you cannot see. Well, substance. Con, do you have substance? My dear brothers and sisters, do you have substance? What fuels your faith? As my title says, faith is the fuel. This is fuel, substance. Is it the principles, the guidelines that God gives you? Is it the methods that you use? How does it affect your mind, your will, and your emotions? Faith has got to have substance. Let's break it down, if I may. Faith, draw a line. Substance, draw a line. Hope, draw a line. Unseen. And I've been so challenged that I may have one and not the other. How do I join them all together? How do I make it work? If I've got substance, yes, that's fine. Things hopeful. I'm always hopeful for something. There's hope. But the unseen is the future. Can I put it into place? Please stay with me. Just a few minutes. I'm not going to be too long, okay? The heart is the storage place. The heart is the substance. Faith is what fuels it. The hope. The unseen, the trust in God, taking you forward. So I picked up a recipe book. I have substance, the ingredients. Like my faith, I need ingredients. Are the things helpful? Look at that. Absolutely yummy. But brothers and sisters, I haven't got it. It's not on the plate. How do I get the substance using a method to produce that which I can see? That's what Jesus does to us in revelation, in vision, in hope, in dreams. We see something. Are we pursuing it? And all these lists of prayers and things that I've had, I can tell you, it's happening. God is answering my prayers. Something is happening. Because the evidence is the trust that we have in God, that He will fulfill it. If I only stay in pace with Him. Now my cupboard, where all the ingredients are in, may need to be revisited. Some things may be out of date. Some things may have even gone moldy. My flour for my cake may have weevils in it. And those things, please understand, I see that as some of the ingredients that God has given me that I haven't used for a while. So when I'm knocking on God's door, claiming, proclaiming, believing, hoping my dreams and my future will be fulfilled, maybe it's time to visit the cupboard. Mm-hmm. Spring clean. I love that. Spring clean the cupboard. throw out those old spices that are, you know, they retired after 3 months. Spices, best before date, gone. Let alone the stuff that's out of date. No. I'm talking about best before date. You check out the cupboard. You clean it out. There's a change. You see, change is a fearful thing. Because God starts knocking on parts of your life that needs a little action. Please don't be afraid of it. The Lord disciplines those he loves. He brings revelation because he loves. He wants you to have a future with hope and dependence on him. The devil, of course, would love to add to your cupboard. He sends in the rat, eats a hole in the back of your cupboard and deposits, you know, those little things. He comes in and he chews holes. He gnaws away at the things that are in your cupboard because he wants to seek it out, kill it, and destroy it. I would love to pray for you today. On my little revelation of understanding that God is saying, activate your faith. When I see the revelation that he gives me, he answers some of my prayers. And I believe he's going to answer more. Once he starts, he doesn't stop. I've got to keep pace with him now. I've got to keep hope in front of me. Hope is never behind the past. Hope is in front of me. I've got to reach for it. I've got to grab hold of it. And I've got to make it mine. And of course, you only have to read Hebrews 12. Keeping my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. Yeah. It's not my faith. It's the Christ in me that's the hope for glory. He's the one that's fueling my faith. He's the one that's feeding it. Circumstances are scary. Times I've been lonely. Times I've had trust issues. I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. It's time to feed my faith, that the Lord can give me a recipe that I can aim at, that I can reach out for, that he can fuel it so that my heart is changed for the better. I'm just going to pray now. I'm going to pray. I want you to understand that I'm praying because I want God to touch you today. Lord Jesus, whatever I've said in the flesh, you crucify. Whatever I've said in the spirit that changes and touches somebody's heart today, may it bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's my prayer for today. Let's just bow where you are. Thank you, Lord. I feel I've got something off my chest. Thank you, Lord, that I'm just sharing what I've experiencing. I want to pray for today, Lord, that those have lost element of faith. Lord, would you fire up their bones? Holy Spirit, would you come and touch them? Open their eyes that they might see there's bigger things for them to do. I want to pray, Lord, and ask that you touch those that have felt left out, that circumstances have just overwhelmed a little bit. It's been scary. Loneliness, whoa, loneliness. Jesus, come and visit. It may be trust issues with family, with friends, with loved ones, trust issues. because they've said words or things have happened and it's crunched your spirit. I want to pray that hurt and anger does not find a root in your life. I break it today in Jesus' name. I break disappointment. I break depression in today in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that as you reach out your hand today, start feeding that faith, Lord Jesus. Fuel that faith for each one's heart today. Because my heart's desire is to see that your kingdom come. Your will be done. And when you arrive here where I'm sharing this from the Isle of Wight, but in Salisbury, you will find faith because they're trusting in you, Lord. Take them on this amazing journey. Lord, I pray and ask these things today. In your name, for your kingdom and for your glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.